It's Thursday, the 6th of January, 2011, and this is the Sodcast. This is episode 22.
Absolute silence as deep in the undergrowth of North County Dublin, we're recording the Sodcast.
Somebody killed a hiding airplane, please.
Welcome to the loudest gardening podcast in the world, the Sodcast, with your host, Peter Donegan.
Yes, folks, and welcome to episode 22 of the Sodcast, the loudest gardening podcast in the world. Happy 2011 to you all, and thanks for tuning in. It's been a long period of white-covered gardens. There are some casualties to be dealt with. Nonetheless, it's still great to be back outside in the great outdoors. It really, really, really is. And to be honest, in my opinion, to get outside and even see the casualties in the garden, you know, what resulted after such a long period of frost more than makes up for what it's going to cost me to put it back together and put it back rightly. That said, I have a great show lined up for you. I have, of course, got my recently on the blog section. I have my links for the podcast. I have my images for the podcast. I have this week's oddities, and of course, I have my And Finally section. What can I say? Other than that, if you want to get in contact with me, you can do so with email info@donneganlandscaping.com. On Twitter, it's @DonneganGardens. And of course, you can hit the website, which is www.donneganlandscaping.com, and you can get me through the contact page there. First up, recently on the blog, just to browse through these. I've got trees on the mind. Just to browse through these very, very quickly. 2010, a good year, was the title on the first one. Essentially, it's my review of, you might say, the more unusual, the little oddball bits and bobs that I did throughout the year 2010. It's an interesting piece moving straight on. I've got Dublin's top 10 parks. Okay, there was a few emails and a bit of response came back on this one. And essentially what everybody said, look, was why didn't you pick the Bushy Parks, or why didn't you pick the Phoenix Parks of this world? Why didn't I go for like the Loch Keys down in Roscommon where I was last year? Or why didn't I go for, you know, Ardgillan or one of these kind of places? Essentially what I was trying to say was, look, I didn't want to pick a park that was a big expanse of green. At the same token, I didn't want to pick a park where you were charged in any format at all. They were the freebie unusual spots around Dublin that you could get to relatively easily, you might say, if you were looking for a little bit of a decent day out. As in, you know, when you turn around and you say, what we do today, honey, one of them, I think we'll go there somewhere different. You probably won't find that list anywhere on one of these tourist information websites. I guarantee you won't. You might find one or two of the parks in there, but not all of them, not that 10. Take a look, see what you think. Happy 10th birthday, Donegan Landscaping. Yeah, pretty much January the 3rd, 2001. I got a brainwave into my head that I should go out my own. Obviously, it was a little bit before that. But it's been a long 10 years. And to all of you who emailed and phoned, texted or other left comments, whatever the case may be, and wished me all the best. Yeah, you know something, touch wood. Here's to another great 10 years as the door of my sheds just beaten off with the little bit of wind that's blowing down through. It's a little bit chilly. I've got my woolly hat on as I'm talking to you here. This gardener's new year 2011 starts today. Essentially what's happened is I think I just got cabin fever, and normally I wouldn't come back until the second odd week in January, but I think I'd seen so much of the mince pie four walls world, I really just wanted to just let this latch down on this shed. But I really just wanted to get back outside, is the honest and simplest way of saying it. I just wanted to get back outside to the great outdoors. I'd kind of had enough of just sitting in. I think the snow really just got to me, is the honest way of saying. And that's kind of, I thought it was just me. But if you look at the next post, which is the garden group's first outing of 2011, I honestly didn't think that anybody in their right mind, en masse, group, would want to actually be getting outside into the great outdoors. I didn't think that. And, you know, bear in mind, we're only the 6th of January. I mean, last night was -4. And Blaheen and Stephen were talking to each other and decided, hold on a second, Donegan should do a garden group gig. And we did 3 last year. I think we took the War Memorial Park on Island Bridge. We took day trip out to Ireland's Eye, which was probably the highlight of the garden group sessions so far, pardon me. And I think we also hit the Battle of the Boyne site, which isn't fully developed, but well worth looking. I'm glad we went there before it's actually been developed. So I think on this one, when I picked, and essentially, sorry, and I'll pause myself there and track back, but bear in mind also in this that I actually hadn't got a place booked when I wrote the post last night, or was it the night before? I can't remember. Anyway, 24 hours ago, I hadn't got a place booked for us to go to, and yet 12 names ended up on the list by the following morning. And that to me is phenomenal. It is. I'm so impressed. I'm obviously proven to be a good influence upon you until Jonathan Grimes popped up on the radar and said, "Oh, I know a great pub in Skerries as well." Well, bold you, Jonathan, but I might just go in and see what their hanging baskets and planters are like just for the crack. Never let it be said. But yeah, so Skerries Mills has been picked as the venue. Now, there's a reason for this, because it's January still. For those who are on the day trip out to the War Memorial Park on Island Bridge, it was around February last year, and it was bloody cold. You know, it was cold, and it was 2 hours outside in the chill. It was 2 hours outside in the chill. So Skerries Mills is a nice mix between inside and outside, but there's a lot of agriculture, horticulture involved in this. It's more than just, and I wouldn't put it up there for no good reason. I think they're charging as a group rate, it's fiver in, but I did note, I mean, it's been 2.5 years, I think, since I've been there, and I did note at the time that I thought it was a bit steep at that time. Then I did the tour, and I think my end reaction was I gave it 5 stars of a rating, and I actually said it was probably the best €6.50 I've ever spent in my life, to be very, very honest with you, and I still stand by that, so I'm glad that it's up there. You know, I tried to do a mix of, you know, one place I've been to, one place I've never been to. And I try, like, Battle of the Boyne, so I'd never been there before. I'd never been to Ireland's Eye. It's a 50-50, no matter it works out when you're in a place like that. But the War Memorial Park I had been to. So let's start the first one with a place that I have been to. And we'll kick off with something a little bit different then for the next time. How's about that? Yes, there were three that came up before Christmas. I'll start you with the shite one. The shite one is the Lissadell House saga, you might say. And the boo-boo. The major boo-boo that the guys from Sligo Town Council or Sligo County Council made, as far as I'm concerned. Now, they say they won in court. I say nobody won the battle. Nobody won the war. There are no winners. In this case, it's a shame is all it is. It's a shame. You take a look, you see what you think, agree or disagree, but conversation is always good. There's another post which is the cost of non-native species on Great Britain. Now, again, they haven't got the costs ready for Ireland just yet. They are en route, and I will have them on the blog as soon as they are made available. That said, if you wish to find out, silly as it sounds, what the actual cost to the UK Exchequer is on plants coming into the country that actually shouldn't be in the country. Pause. Cost factor of cleaning up that mess is absolutely phenomenal. It is 110% phenomenal. The figures that came out of it just blew me away, to be very, very honest with you. And the final, I think, post that I ended up with on last year was the Kappa Hospital Garden. Again, the photographs are there, the images are there. Take a look and see what you think. But yeah, I'm pleased with that one. The links for the podcast, as you're looking at the post, the links for the podcast are just things that may pop up throughout conversation as I'm talking. And again, you know, I can make reference to them there. But as I'm going along, you'll gather where I'm coming from. The images for the podcast, again, they just kind of help me through the train of conversation, you might say. You'll figure it out as we're going along, again, if you've never heard the podcast before. So the first images that you're looking at there are, I skip actually the first two and I'll go to image 3 and 4. Image 3 is just a dead plant in a container. And image 4, as I look at it now, is my own hedging in North County Dublin. And it's bay laurel. It's Laurus nobilis. And what's happened essentially is you've had, obviously, the sub-zero temperatures. And plant cells are made up of primarily H2O water within the plant cells anyway. So when the water expands as an ice cube would, the cell bursts. Plant becomes totally dead. It's beyond. You can't resurrect, and here's the easy science logic bit of it, if you wish to call it that. You cannot resurrect a dead cell. Once it's gone, it's gone. If it bursts, it bursts. So what you see as an end result of that is fairly much brown running throughout the entire of the hedge. I think a lot of people are saying to me, look, I've got, you know, casualties in the garden. There's disaster struck again. Image tree is an entirely dead plant. But there are plants that are hardier than others. When I say hardy, there is a difference, obviously, between a tree and a bedding plant or something that you would have in a hanging basket. Obviously, one is a little bit more delicate than the other. And the more delicate it is, essentially, that's what a gardener will call less hardy or more hardy, depending. Does that make sense? Okay. So I think the bay laurel, if you think about it, it's got wood in it and it's got some soft growth. So it's kind of in the middle. It's depending on how mature it is. And it's got a little bit bashed by the weather. But it's not something I'm extremely concerned about because my hedge has been down about 3-4 years. So I think what I did this week was I just went out with the hedge cutters and I just trimmed off the dead bits. But what I have done, or what you can do if you're unsure if your plant is dead, if you go up and you scratch, particularly if it's brown, you can scratch it with a key or scratch it with a coin, just ever so slightly. And if you see green appear underneath the stem, it's live growth. As you go further up the stem, what you will find is that sometimes the dieback has actually eaten down through it's, if you get where I'm coming from, it's eaten down through the stem. And it's actually, when you look at, when you cut across the top of the stem and look down onto it, you can see brown just trickling down through it, down through the centre of it. Again, I will do a blog post on this now that I think about it, but obviously it won't be for this week. So the idea is that you cut out the dieback so it doesn't set down. It doesn't actually set into the plant itself and the whole plant doesn't die off. But generally speaking, if you've got an old hedge there, an old hedge, it should be relatively okay. I think it came up in conversation with Anne Kennedy Doyle, who's at AKD. At AKD? I'm lost. And Anne was kind of saying, you know, oh, I must tell the husband you were cutting your hedges. And I'm going, jeez, look, don't get me into trouble. I don't want to, you know, find out that he's got frostbite and I get the blame for it. But there are hedges like the Crataegus, which is the old Skjock hedge, which is the hawthorn hedge that I have at the front and the back of my garden, which won't be affected by it at all. There are hedges like the beech hedging, which shouldn't be affected. And again, mine are only one or two seasons old. There's some like the bay laurel, again, that would have taken a bit of a battering. But again, they've a fair amount of soft growth on the peripherals. And I would have cut mine, I think it was around October, November, somewhere in and around about there. So there would have been a little bit of new growth coming up to the tail end of that, you know, as a result of me cutting it. But it's nothing major to worry about. If they're dead plants, to be honest, which as you can see in the planter, of a fair amount of them, they just go onto the bark mulch heap, and that is just that. Photograph 1 and 2, you'll see some of the bulbs, to be honest with you. There was a bag of crocus bulbs that somebody gave me, and then there was some daffodil. I don't know why. I'm just like a give me... Give me the husband's credit card, bad analogy here coming up, but give me the husband's credit card and tell me I only to buy one new dress. So there's a bit of that when it comes to me and kind of plant shopping. And I always buy too many, for myself that is. So I bought literally tons of bulbs for no apparent reason, just because I fancy it. And photograph number 2 is just a selection of the pots that I'm going to be planting up. Because if you look, I mean, you'll even see there's all paint buckets there. People gave me planters to just do it for them. That's only like a percentage, like a 3% or 5% of them. I literally have hundreds of these to do up. But the paint buckets, I mean, all I'm going to do is drill one or two holes in the bottom so there's drainage in. I'll throw in a handful of pebbles and I'm going to plant some bulbs in. Again, I'll do a blog post on planting bulbs next week. But if they're going to go into the garden, I don't need the sexiest pot in the world. I just need any container. That's all it requires. If I'm just going to plant them into my garden. What I did about 3 years ago, actually, was I planted bulbs into the lawn. And that is actually really, really cool. It's one of the coolest things ever. Because actually, if you drive up past my house in Ballybottle, North County Dublin, come daffodil season, when daffodil week comes around, and you'll see either side of the road, just at my house, daffodils either side. Daffodils should be coming up through the lawn. I need to plant some more in, but I've got some planted. So when they die off, maybe that's what I'll do. I'll plant them beneath the grass. Moving straight on. Yeah, for no apparent reason, Barry ran out of images to put up. There's the Sodcast coffee mug that John Keyes bought me there a while ago. And also there's the logo for the garden group, just for those browsing around who didn't realise that it was back. This week's oddities, I had a lovely email in from a girl called Trisha. Trisha will also be at the garden group gig that's coming up on January 30th, Sunday, to Skerry's Mills. And Trisha said, "Hi, Peter. I've just been browsing your website. Really liked your version to pomposity and the sound of the best garden group in Dublin. You better believe it, Tricia. I cackle in there somewhere, mildly to myself. I can hardly spell horticulture, she continues. So the group I'm getting off the ground will be a galaxy away from yours. Well, thanks for the compliment, but I thought you might know some people who'd be interested in it. I guarantee you I do. If I could forward this on, if I could forward this info on to you about the Dublin City Centre GIY, that's the Grow It Yourself Garden Group, then I'd be delighted. Obviously, if you were interested in coming along too, that'd be fantastic. I am interested in coming along, and Tricia tells me that that is taking place, I think, is it the 22nd of January at 12 noon? It's in the Food Co-op Newmarket in Dublin 8. I recommend you take a look. I've got some links up there for Tricia. Her email is there, and also her phone number is there. If you're based in Dublin, my apologies, City Centre, the cold is just beating through the chest ever so slightly. But if you're interested in getting involved in a Grow It Yourself group in Dublin City Centre, by all means, I would highly recommend the GIY groups. In fact, I think I spoke to Sean, who's at Paysan, and I think Sean is coming across to the garden group gig as well. And Sean is involved in the Ratgar Terranure body of the GIY, so he is. There's an unusual paper in there for those who are into the EU, the GM, the crop regulation kind of side of things. It's by Shane Morris and Charles Spillane. I think Charles is on Twitter, as far as I'm aware. There's a mild abstract in there, and there's a link to the PDF of that. Highly recommend you go take a look. Other than that, I got this in from Granny Mar, and Granny Mar would have been on the podcast in around about December. And we were talking about getting into the Christmas spirit and decorating the house with ivy and all sorts of, you know, how it used to be and how it should be, in my honest opinion. And she just sent me this wee email there in December saying, "Hi, Peter, guess what I found? The instructions I used to cover my sink and wash basins, the ones in my garden," she says, "and not the bathroom long grow." Well, a long grow to you, Granny Mar. And essentially what it is, it's an old article clipping for making a sink garden. I've got an old Belfast sink hidden in the bottom of my garden as well. It's overcovered slightly with trees and bits of hedging, and I've got log piles beside it. It's what the feng shui gardeners of this world call biodiversity. Again, I think I did an article on that a while ago. If you wish to know what biodiversity is, in a nutshell, it's essentially letting your garden go into disrepute and being able to turn around and say, "Whoo, no, that's biodiversity." It's a great gardener's excuse. The easiest things to do as regards biodiversity are, number one, yeah, the sink in the ground is really, really good. Really, really good idea. I find frogs coming into my garden as well, because it's just, you might say, a bowl of water buried into the ground. It's at ground level. The other thing is you find you get a lot of insects, good beneficial insects come in. There's a pile of, There's also a pile of logs left right beside that as well. And just for no apparent reason, again, it's said that it's good for insects. I tend to rake up my leaves and I leave them also in a pile, which is, again, it's good for insects, it's good for the birds. But it's also about planting trees, it's about getting outside. And again, folks, if you can, do get outside this week, this weekend, get out into the great outdoors. Just very, very, very simply walk around, take a look at the trees, scratch them with a coin, see if they're dead. Fill up the bird feeders, fill up the water for the birds. I wouldn't be too much worried about cutting the grass or the pernickety-ness of that just yet. I'll get into that next week and the week after following. But for the moment, I'll leave you with the and finally section, which is the Armstrong and Miller show and their take on the farmer's market. What can I say? It's pretty cold. It's also pretty wonderful to be back outside in the great outdoors. Thank you for listening. As always, you'll get me on info at donnaganlandscaping.com. That's email. I'm at Donegan Gardens on Twitter. Or you can hit the blog. That's blog.donneganlandscaping.com and hit the contact page. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend in the great outdoors. I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye for now.